Our Old Testament lesson this morning is a prophecy from Isaiah. And as I read this, the first verse and a half you may recognize as the words that Jesus read when he was at the Sabbath in Nazareth. And as they closed up the scrolls, Jesus said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Listen now for Isaiah's prophecy from chapter 61, verses 1 through 4 and 8 through 11. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robes of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. And all I can say about this is it's good advice for daily living. So listen now to what this may mean for you. Reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 24. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, and then 19 through 28. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, 'I am not the Messiah.' And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' He answered, 'No.' Then they said to him, 'Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" Jesus answered, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What What's the purpose of your life? Why are you here? You know, scientists can tell us how we got here, but they can't answer the why we are here. That falls more for the theologians and the philosophers. And I don't know how much time we spend thinking about our purpose. I think we set goals of, I want to be a good person. I want to be a good spouse, a good parent, a good grandparent, maybe a good Christian. I want to be a contributor to society, not a drainer of society. Maybe it falls into our vocation. I want to do whatever work I do to the best of my ability. And for some, it may be I want to become rich, or I just want to live a comfortable life. But what is your purpose? Why are you here? The scriptures we looked at this morning, I think, speak to these matters. The gospel lesson I just read talks about John. John knew his purpose. He knew why what he was to be doing with his life, and that was he was to be a testimony to a witness to the light, to Jesus, the Messiah. And so, when the religious leaders sent folks out to question him, in my mind, I kind of see it as almost like in a courtroom. And John's sitting on the witness stand, and the prosecutor is trying to go after him and trying to incriminate him or something. He said, "Are you the Christ?" "No." "Well, then, are you Elijah?" "No." "Well, then, are you one of the prophets?" "No." "Well, then, for goodness sake, tell us who you are." "I am a voice crying out in the wilderness," quoting from the prophet Isaiah. They would have caught that. He says, "I come baptizing with water, but there's one who's coming after me. That's the one you want to watch for. That person, I'm unworthy to even untie the thongs of his sandals. That's how great this one will be." John knew his purpose, to point the way for the Messiah, the Christ, to point people toward Jesus. And this he did. And I think for us, that should also be part of our purpose. We need to be pointing people to Jesus, because Jesus is the one that can give life. Jesus is the one that can give meaning and purpose. You know, Jesus talked about the wide road, or the wide gate and the wide road that many people travel down. That it's easy to go this way, but it leads to destruction. And then he says, you need to go through the narrow gate, take down the narrow path. It's hard, it's difficult, but it leads to life, to purpose and meaning and fulfillment. This is the road you need to take. This is the one we're pointing to, this Jesus, who wants us, encourages us to go down the narrow path that leads to life. And then we read the Isaiah passage, and as Kim mentioned, Jesus read from this passage when he preached early on in his ministry, when he preached at his home synagogue. And he told them that today this has been fulfilled. And he read, said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty for the oppressed, freedom for the prisoners, to comfort those that mourn." And I would say, and then Jesus said, "I've come to fulfill this." This was Jesus' purpose statement. "I have come to be with those who are down and out, those that are oppressed and going through the difficult times, I'm there for these people. And those are the ones that we need to also be reaching out to. That should be our purpose. And when we say as a church, we want to live and love like Christ. And that means going and following people or helping and working with people like this. The down and out. The ones that are going through difficult times. We are there to love and care for them. Jesus was all about justice and mercy and grace and love and joy and peace. I think of the weeks of Advent where we talk about hope and peace and joy and love. These are the things that Jesus is about. These are the things that Jesus wants our lives to be about. When we talk about having fulfilling lives, if we follow the words of Jesus, it means that we serve others rather than being served ourselves. We give more than what we receive. And that we pour ourselves out for others. This is what I think it means to live in love like Christ. To find our purpose in this way. Several years ago, Time Magazine did an article. And in this article, it said, those people who volunteer their time at places like hospitals or homeless shelters or food pantries, places where they come in contact with the people that they are serving, they live longer than those that don't volunteer. And they are less likely to suffer from depression or loneliness. They are less likely to have hypertension or stroke or dementia. Those are good things you don't want to have. I mean, we want to seek those type of things. And if your purpose is to live longer, you need to be doing these things. Volunteering, getting involved in people's lives. If your purpose is to live in love like Christ, and it causes you to live longer, well, that's just icing on the cake. The third reading we had talks also about a person that had purpose in their life. John was the witness to the Messiah, the Christ. Jesus was there to give himself to serve those who are in need, those who are the down and out, the ones that are in need of God's grace and love. And then we have the Apostle Paul wrote these words in 1 Thessalonians. Paul was as passionate of a person as you could come about. He knew his purpose. When we first encounter Paul in the Bible, he was out to destroy the Christian church. He was passionate about that. He oversaw the killing of the first Christian martyr, Stephen. He was there watching the coats as the people stoned Stephen to death. And from that, he started going around and arresting Christians and throwing them in prison. He wanted to get rid of these group of heretics, he would have called them. And he was on his way to Damascus to arrest some Christians there when he had an encounter with the living, risen Christ. And he made a 180-degree turn. He went from passionately hating the church to going around establishing and building up the church, starting churches. His purpose in life was to get that message of Jesus out to the world. And he wanted everybody to hear it. And he wanted everybody to experience that meaning and purpose in life. And this letter that he wrote to the Thessalonians, he talks about how we should live. How we apply our faith to everyday living. And he says, rejoice always. This is our attitude we need to have. one of optimism and joy and thinking, looking and seeing the good in everything and not being critical of everything, but rejoicing always, praying without ceasing. Now, that sounds impossible. How do you pray without ceasing? You know, everything you're doing, you're praying, well, God, I'm walking from the kitchen to the living room. I'm cutting on the TV. What do you think of this show, God? No, that's not praying without ceasing. But it's being conscious of God with you and God leading and guiding you and just being aware of God's presence. Praying without ceasing. And then he says, give thanks in all circumstances. And that's hard to do. When you're going through difficult times, you're not thinking about, oh, God, thanks for this. I just wrecked my car. Thank you a lot. But remember who wrote this. This is the Apostle Paul, who was beaten numerous times, thrown in prison countless times, was stoned once and left for dead, shipwrecked. He didn't have an easy life. And here he is saying, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I believe in the sovereignty of God, and I believe that God can work good even in the worst circumstances. And I don't believe God's the one causing all the worst circumstances. But somehow God can take what's bad and somehow shift it around and make it good in our lives. So we give thanks in all circumstances. We don't quench the spirit. The work that we see God doing, we don't want to be a barrier to that work. Whether it's work that we're doing in our church or maybe work some other church is doing or some other Christians are doing. We don't quench that work that's being done. We support it, encourage it. Trying to remember what comes next. Give thanks or rejoice. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Don't quench the spirit. I think it's to do good and not do evil. Resist evil, but do good. This is how we're to live. I heard a story this week of a woman, a Presbyterian woman in our presbytery, who just recently died. She had cancer, and she told no one that she had this cancer. And she went about her life as she had been doing, serving other people. And so she would continue that work, serving everyone all the way to the end. And there would be people coming up to her, noticing her, that she's lost weight, that she doesn't look so good, and they're saying, are you all right? And she's saying, I'm fine, I'm fine. And she continues to serve those people. And I'm not advocating this how you should do this, because I don't think I would do that. I don't think I could do that if I were in her circumstances. But she saw her purpose as serving others. And she did it all the way until the end. I see my purpose as like John, as a one who points toward Jesus. I want to point other people toward Jesus. My purpose is to try to make disciples of followers of Jesus. What does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to follow Christ? What does it mean to live and love like Christ? Those are my purpose. Helping people to work for justice. Helping people to work with the underdog, the poor. Helping the people who are sick and in trouble. And trying to help people reach out in love to those who are in need. And I don't know how well I do in all of that. Sometimes I think I'm doing okay. Other times I just wonder if I'm beating my head against the wall. But I keep at it. And I want to encourage you to think about what your purpose is. And where does God fit in on that? Too often we're shaped by our culture. We get bombarded with what our culture says how we should live oh, you need to have the finest cars, the latest electronics. You know, you got to have that cell phone that's the latest and greatest and fastest. You want to drink this beer with your neighbors or your friends. This is the right beer to drink with your friends because you'll have a good time together. These are the clothes you ought to be wearing. This is the jewelry you should have. This is what's going to make you look good to other people. This is what's going to make you look sexy. All these things. We're being bombarded with these things. When you watch TV, 18 minutes out of the hour are spent in commercials telling you these are the things you need. And those aren't the things we need. Do we spend 18 minutes a day working on our purpose in life, working on trying to follow Jesus? Much less 18 minutes an hour. Advent is a time for us to reevaluate our lives because we're looking back to the time that Christ came. But we're also looking forward to when Christ will return. And we live in that in-between time. And God has called us to be that witness. God has called us to be those disciples. God is calling us to live in love like Christ. So I hope you'll take this time during Advent to evaluate your life. What is my purpose? Why am I here? And what am I trying to do for God? Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this day, for these words that you give us. Be at work in our lives that we might be a witness, that we might care for those people who are in need, that we might live in love like Christ, rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances, even listening to the words of the prophets and checking them out to make sure they're true, and doing what is right and good and abstaining from what is evil. Help us to put all these things into practice in our lives so that our lives might have meaning and purpose and that it might be an abundant life rooted and grounded in you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.